Hello, fellow Kentuckians and other friends, and welcome to another edition of my Old Kentucky Podcast. My name is Robert Connie, and I am all alone this week. Jasmine is sick, and we got our wires crossed as to what we were doing this week, so at the end of the day, I'm here all alone, bringing you all of the news about Kentucky politics and policy that you need to know. It's been a huge week in the federal government. I'm sure that everyone's been paying attention to that, so we are here to make sure you stay caught up on everything you need to know about the state of Kentucky. We're going to talk this week a little bit about Governor Bevin and his Facebook Live video. We're going to talk a little bit about Tim Longmire, the court case against him and the fallout from that. We're going to finally end the story about the party switching investigation, and I'm going to recap the KSEP conference that I went to this week. You know, without any further ado, I guess let's go ahead and get started. So Matt Bevin took to Facebook Live last week what he called an important message for all Kentuckians. Here's what he said in the video. He begins by talking about fake news, and he says that's why he's speaking to us directly. He then talked about the legislative session and how easily HB2, the ultrasound bill, and SB5, the 20-week abortion ban, passed with 83% of the legislature. And then he talked about how Andy Beshear was not going to do his job of defending these laws in court. He said that Andy Beshear both undermined the law and the law of the land in Kentucky. He said that Andy Beshear had now changed his position on HB2. He had originally said he would defend, and he called it absolutely unconscionable and dishonorable. Governor Bevin said the attorney general had friends in the media who support him and that it's dishonest and disingenuous. He called the Courier Journal sloppy and dishonest, and he accused Deb Yetter, a writer for the Courier Journal, of intentionally disregarding the truth. He then told everybody how to contact Andy Beshear and told us to tell him to do his job, and that was most of the video. But guess what, everybody? Most of what Governor Bevin said was entirely false. Andy Beshear actually asked for a lawsuit challenging the bill to be dismissed, and he gave this quote, "My office is actively defending agencies sued over House Bill 2. In doing so, we have taken the most aggressive action possible, moving to have the entire case dismissed as to those agencies. I would suggest in the future that if the governor has any questions of the hard work of my office, that he can walk across the hallway and ask to meet with me and not hide behind Facebook." You know, this is kind of interesting. There has been more and more talk about politicians and people in the government going directly to the people. You've seen this more and more as Twitter has exploded and people have been able to be more approachable and meetable on social media. I mean, I can remember growing up and listening and to call-in shows for like basketball coaches and stuff, and that being basically the only way to get to them was to go through the media. And now, of course, you can follow most basketball coaches on Twitter. You can do the same with a lot of celebrities. You can contact them directly or see what they're up to directly without having to go through tabloids or through the newspaper. And of course, government is no different. I've seen many people on both sides of the aisle talk about how it's important for politicians to go directly to people and make their case without having to deal with the media. If you listen to Pod Save America, the podcast with Jon Favreau, who was in the Obama administration, he talked about how the Obama administration often sought to do this. And of course, Donald Trump has referred to the media as the opposition party and has mostly been able to be very accessible through social media. And so this as a tactic has gotten to be more and more prevalent, and the governor's taken advantage of this. Now, the issue with this sort of thing is that the media is not there to act as an arbiter. You can make the case on both sides of the aisle, the case has been made that the media hasn't been a fair arbiter in cases such as these, but when they don't exist, we have really no way to fact check this. Of course, this video went up and immediately the Courier Journal and all of the other people in the media in the state of Kentucky got on this and called out the alternative facts, the falsehoods that Governor Bevin told us in this video. But did people see that? Or were people, when they watched the Facebook Live event, did they take that at face value? It's hard to say, but this is a new media paradigm we're living in. We're here doing a podcast. You're listening to me talk to you on a podcast, and I think the media still is important. So if you're just listening to me to get your news, don't do that. Go read the Courier Journal, or go read the Herald Leader, or go listen to WFPL or something to get more information and make sure that you hear everything there is to say and don't just watch the governor's Facebook Live videos. Okay, the next thing we want to talk to you a little bit about was Tim Longmire. We've talked about Tim Longmire in many episodes in the past. Tim Longmire was a staffer for Governor Beshear, who ended up going to prison because of a bribery and corruption scandal. It was caught up in a kickback scheme where he funneled consulting contracts to his friends from health insurance companies and then received kickbacks from that consulting firm. So the fallout that happened this week was Myron D. Harrod and Sam McIntosh, who worked for the consulting firm, they pled guilty to charges stemming from their roles in funneling money between Longmire and their consulting firm. The amount of money that was funneled to Longmire and Larry O'Brien, who's another person in the scandal, was about $850,000. So these sentences for Mr. Harrod and Mr. McIntosh, they have a maximum of 10 years in prison, but they're expected to be a little bit shorter than that. We'll let you know if anything else happens, but we thought it was important, since we talked about it before, to make sure you stayed up to date with the Tim Longmire saga. Okay, the next thing we want to talk about is the party-switching investigation. We've talked in several episodes about the allegations and investigations about Governor Bevin's pressuring some Democratic lawmakers to switch their partisan affiliation. I believe the last time we talked about this group, the committee was actually trying to disband itself, but it couldn't reach a quorum to do so. That was somewhere between the election and the start of the new session, when it was very clear that the Democrats were not going to be in power and they weren't really going to be able to continue this investigation at all. So they are basically trying to take themselves apart. So it does appear that the committee did submit a report to then Speaker Stumbo at the end of December, but the report wasn't made public until Mr. Stumbo released the report to the Courier-Journal last week. So he probably had it in his pocket, but he was like, this isn't such a big deal. And the Courier-Journal at some point asked for it and received it. The report was not able to substantiate any illegal activity done by Governor Bevin. The report said that Bevin's activities trying to get legislators to switch parties was distasteful, but not necessarily illegal. The report also cited the $625,000 in damages paid to the contractor due to the road project's delay, but it could not substantiate any illegality there. So if you need a reminder about what that is, Russ Meyer, Representative Russ Meyer, who is a representative in Jessamine County, he was pressured to switch his partisan affiliation by Governor Bevin. He refused to do so, and then a road project was delayed in his district, and that was what the committee was actually investigating. But it looks like they could not find any link between Governor Bevin trying to get Russ Meyer to switch his partisan affiliation and the road project. They couldn't substantiate any link, so the report didn't say much at all. I think the most important part of the report, though, was that it said that the committee could not do what it felt was a true investigation. Governor Bevin refused to let members of the Transportation Cabinet be interviewed, and Russ Meyer refused to testify. And then, to top it all off, Speaker Stumbo, did not give the committee subpoena power. So they couldn't really do anything. They couldn't get anybody to tell them what was going on or what they were doing, and there wasn't much to be done. So they ended up submitting a report that said, there isn't anything here. So I believe that's the last we'll hear from this investigation. Just wanted to tie a little bow around that. So last Friday, January the 27th, I attended the KSEP conference, the Kentucky Center for Economic Policy conference. KSEP is a progressive think tank type organization in Kentucky that is geared towards analyzing public policy through a progressive lens. Here at My Old Kentucky Podcast, we do try our very best to be fair and present both sides or every side of an argument, but we certainly do favor much of KSEP's agenda. We're not balanced, as it were. We do put our thumb on the scales a little bit and don't try to give equal time to different platforms. We try to be fair when weighing them, but we are certainly people that support KSEP's agenda. So I went to this conference. I took some pretty serious notes on it, and I'm going to attach those to the show notes for you guys. The biggest takeaway for me from the conference was that public policy in the economic sphere is likely going to get significantly more conservative on both the state and the federal level. Not too surprising, but it was kind of serious when we actually got down to talking about it and seeing how all the things might change in the next year or so. However, it was heartening at a conference like this that there were several people grappling with the idea of how to engage with progressive policy ideals in the political realm. So I've been to a couple of these things before. I've seen many progressive type policies presented, explained, types of things that progressives feel like we should be doing, but never much around the political realm of how to make these types of things possible given the political constraints that are put upon us. I think that this conference did a good job with that. There were several opportunities to learn how to reframe debates about taxes and social programs into ones about public goods and societal benefits. The case that they made, and I think they're probably right, is that people, when they think about taxes, they think about government waste and don't often connect those taxes to the societal goods that come from them oftentimes. I'd recommend going to this conference if you have the opportunity next year and you agree with KSEP's agenda, and I would tell you, if you're interested and you're sad you missed it, to read my notes. I tried really hard to take some good ones, so feel free to read those. Jasmine and I are going to go to the New Kentucky Project meeting on Saturday. It will be sort of about the same thing, and we'll tell you all about that. Okay, so before we leave, I do want to give you some quick hits. So there will be a hearing on HB2, the ultrasound law, and it's scheduled for February 16th. The ACLU sued as soon as that bill became law to try to overturn it due to what the ACLU believes is its unconstitutionality. We'll see what happens in that hearing. We spoke about the controversy regarding UK's investigation of a sexual assault case in an open records request from the Kentucky Colonel a while back. UK, the university, the Kentucky Colonel being the newspaper for the university that's run by the students. UK refused an open records request into the investigation, claiming that the records being requested were academic in nature and that the privacy of those records was protected by law. Last week, a judge ruled in favor of UK, so the records will remain sealed. Unless it's reversed on appeal, the records aren't going to be unsealed, but the colonel has said that they probably will try to appeal. So we'll make sure to keep you abreast of that. And we've got a couple of links if you want to read more about that story. And lastly, like I said, it was a big, big week for federal politics, for national politics, and our senators were certainly in the midst of it. Senator Mitch McConnell, he was on ABC's This Week, and he walked a very fine line on Donald Trump's immigration executive order. He expressed that he believed that more vetting was a good idea, but he made very clear that Muslims are allies of the United States in the fight against the Islamic State. Mitch McConnell said that the executive order's legality would be decided in the courts. So that's kind of interesting because he is the majority leader of the U.S. Senate and he sets the agenda. So if he wanted to, he could absolutely introduce legislation to overturn the executive order, but I believe he does not think that is in his political interests currently. So there were some very large protests all over the country at airports and such this weekend. There was a very large rally in the city of Louisville on Monday, and relating to this executive order and to the immigration reforms proposed and put in place by President Trump. So we will see if our senators do anything related to this. They are certainly in a large position to do that. So, all right, guys, thanks for listening to me. Jasmine will absolutely be back next week, but until then, thanks for listening. If you want to get in touch with us, you can do so by following us on Twitter at @myoldkypod. You can follow us on Facebook, My Old Kentucky Podcast, and you can read our show notes on Medium, My Old Kentucky Podcast, there as well. So if you would like to get in touch with us, please do so. We would love to hear from you, and until next week, thanks for listening.